The Lord of the harvest is calling for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls on the ocean in darkness are starving for life's giving bread. They're perishing now, they're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. No pain in the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest.
They're perishing now, they're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. Greetings once again to all the listeners of this great radio station, XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, and your speaker is Willie Murphy. We are certainly glad to be coming to you again by means of radio on this first day of April, 1966. But let me assure you, each and every one, that the things which we have to speak to you do not make up an April Fool's message. We'll leave this fooling and playing for others to do, but we have more important things to discuss with you than to waste your time in such a manner. First, let me say we're indeed happy to hear from those who either hear the broadcast on this station or from those who receive the printed copies. Whether they live in the east or west or north or south. And of course, this not only includes those who live within the United States, but we're mailing a number into foreign countries, and we are indeed happy to hear from these, whatever the place may be where you live. Write us a letter, and let me assure you that you may expect a personal reply from us within a few days. And now to our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 7 and beginning at verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, I believe if we go back and carefully look at some of the thoughts expressed in these verses, it will help us to have not only a better relationship with God, but also a better relationship with those who live about us. It is so easy for us to look at others and to see their faults. We can see where they have failed to measure to God's standard, and we can clearly point out their errors and thus pass judgment upon them. In fact, There are certain people who do not endeavor to live for God themselves and are not careful to measure to the standard of His Word. Nevertheless, they are quick to censor those who turn aside from the truth. Now, I would say that before anyone was qualified to pass judgment upon another, they must first be walking in all the light which they have. They must be endeavoring to do the will of God as far as they understand it. Otherwise, it is possible that the one with whom they would find fault may be more sincere than they themselves. This ought not to be the case. Let us especially notice the thought expressed in verse 2. Here it says, "For with what judgment ye judged, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, it is easy for us to understand that those who are brought before the judge desire to have favor in his sight. They are pleased for the judge to have mercy and compassion. But by the same token, let us ask ourselves, are we willing to have compassion upon others? Then I believe that if we can answer this in the affirmative and really feel deep down in our hearts that we have a sincere and earnest desire to help others, we would be in a better position to do so. Or in other words, if we would first have the beam removed from our own eye, then will we see more clearly to pull out the mote from our brother's eye. Now, no doubt most of us are well aware that misunderstandings can come between the very closest of friends, and that so very easily. In fact, it may arise from a hearsay or a rumor which is not well founded at all. If the truth was only known many times, we find that our brother or our sister did not mean at all that which we thought was meant. Now, let me better illustrate it this way. Suppose that on one of our modern-day train coaches, a man and his wife were riding along, and in the meantime were in a casual conversation. We shall call their names Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Then, just suppose that surrounding Mr. and Mrs. Jones in the coach were a number of other men with their wives, each intently listening to overhear the conversation of Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Now, to even better illustrate it, let us suppose that Mr. and Mrs. Smith, sitting nearby, overheard a statement which sounded to them as if Mr. Jones mentioned to his wife a trained ear. From this point, Mr. and Mrs. Smith began further speculating that the Joneses had been to a musical concert because he had mentioned a trained ear. In the meantime, suppose Mr. and Mrs. Godfrey, sitting nearby, overheard the same statement which Mr. Jones made to his wife, and Mr. Godfrey understood him to say something about a reindeer. From this point, Mr. Godfrey would begin to elaborate and explain to his wife that no doubt the Joneses had been to a zoo and had seen the many animals among them, among which were some reindeer. Then, just to further complicate this matter, suppose Mr. Seymour, sitting nearby with his wife, overheard this same statement which Mr. Jones had made, and he interpreted it a different way. The moment Mr. and Mrs. Seymour stepped from the train, he looked all around him and exclaimed with a certain amount of amazement, "I don't see any signs of rain, and I am very positive that I heard Mr. Jones mention to his wife that it rained here." So you see, friends, here would be one statement which Mr. Jones had made, and three different people had overheard this statement, and each came up with a different explanation. Then let us suppose that all had missed the true meaning of what Mr. Jones had told his wife, for he had only mentioned to her that I almost missed the train. Dear friends, can you see how far a little misunderstanding can spread? Let us be quick to make allowance for others, and in the meantime, guard our own lives and conversation very closely. Furthermore, let us be willing to have our lives judged by the standard which we impose upon others. Then, and only then, can we come to the place where the Lord would have us live together and in peace and harmony as His children. To better illustrate this point, listen now to this poem entitled A Looking Glass by G.W. Macmillan. I'd like to tell this busy world of men and women, boys and girls, what I discovered with surprise by looking in my brother's eyes. Close to my brother, he to me, looking to see what we could see. To tell this, I should all recline, had he not found the same in mine. I saw myself, he saw himself, and then we parted right and left. I sought a mirror then to study more about self instead of buddy. I quickly learned the reason why my Savior told me to deny that giant, though pretended elf, known as my own deceitful self. Then, precious souls who would be wise, seek for the harm in your own eyes. Nothing for service can surpass the Bible as a looking glass. Let us spend a moment in prayer. Our Father, we humbly pray that you would help us to use thy word, the Holy Bible, as a looking glass for our lives, and help us to remove from our lives that which your word condemns. And in turn, we pray that you would make us a blessing rather than a hindrance to the great cause of God throughout the world. Let thy special favor rest upon the sick and the afflicted ones who hear this broadcast tonight. Especially, we pray for the shut-ins, some of whom have written expressing their interest in the things of God. But above all our physical needs, dear Lord, we pray that you would remember those who have grave spiritual problems. Help us to send the light of thy word into every land where these hungry hearts are found, and satisfy them with thy goodness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen now to a verse of song, Alone, as sung by Margaretta Kennedy and Dixie Hand.
Alone upon the cross he hung,
has been brought to you by The Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy of today's message free of charge, you may have one by sending us your request. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours, and a very pleasant good night.